Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Sunday, May 21st episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I am Wayne Floyd, your host. Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us at christianpodcastcommunity.org. A lot of great stuff out there to listen to. I want to continue to point you at the final link in our show notes. It is for the Vail Valley Baptist Church Give, Send, Go campaign. We are striving to rapidly pay off our mortgage so that we can commence establishment of a Christian classic education-based school to provide a trustworthy alternative within our community. So go ahead and click on the link, take a read through. It's a much more thorough description than I just gave you. And then we would ask three things of you. We'd ask you to pray for us. We'd ask you to prayerfully consider giving to us. And we'd ask you to pass that link along so that others can do the same. All right. Well, let's go ahead. We're going to do our Bible reading for the day. Let's go ahead and open up with the first day morning prayer. It's called worship. Let's pray. O Lord, we commune with thee every day, but weekdays are worldly days, and secular concerns reduce heavenly impressions. We bless thee, therefore, for the day sacred to our souls, when we can wait upon thee and be refreshed. We thank thee for the institution of religion, by use of which we draw near to thee and thou to us. We rejoice in another Lord's day, when we call off our minds, from the cares of the world, and attend upon thee without distraction. Let our retirement be devout, our conversation edifying, our reading pious, our hearing profitable, that our souls may be quickened and elevated. We are going to the house of prayer. Pour upon us the spirit of grace and supplication. We are going to the house of praise. Awaken in us every grateful and cheerful emotion. We are going to the house of instruction. Give testimony to the word preached, and glorify it in the hearts of all who hear. May it enlighten the ignorant, awaken the careless, reclaim the wandering, establish the weak, comfort the feeble-minded, make ready a people for their Lord. Be a sanctuary to all who cannot come. Forget not those who never come. And do thou bestow upon us benevolence towards our dependents, forgiveness towards our enemies, peaceableness towards our neighbors, openness towards our fellow Christians. Amen. All right. And now our morning devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for May 21st. The text for it is from 1 Peter 2:3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If, then this is not a matter to be taken for granted concerning every one of the human race. If, then there is a possibility and a probability that some may not have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If, then this is not a general but a special mercy, and it is needful to inquire whether we know the grace of God by inward experience. There is no spiritual favor which may not be a matter for heart searching. But while this should be a matter of earnest and prayerful inquiry, no one ought to be content whilst there is any such thing as an if about his having tasted that the Lord is gracious. A jealous and holy distrust of self may give rise to the question even in the believer's heart, but the continuance of such a doubt would be an evil indeed. We must not rest without a desperate struggle to clasp the Savior in the arms of faith and say, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Do not rest, O believer, till thou hast a full assurance of thine interest in Jesus. Let nothing satisfy thee till, by the infallible witness of the Holy Spirit, bearing witness with thy spirit, thou art certified that thou art a child of God. O trifle not here, let no perhaps and peradventure and if and maybe satisfy thy soul. Build on eternal verities and verily build upon them. Get the sure mercies of David and surely get them. Let thine anchor be cast into that which is within the veil, and see to it that thy soul be linked to the anchor by a cable that will not break. Advance beyond these dreary ifs, Abide no more in the wilderness of doubts and fears. Cross the Jordan of distrust and enter the Canaan of peace, where the Canaanite still lingers, but where the land ceaseth not to flow with milk and honey. All right. Now, our scripture reading for the day, we've got 1 Samuel 29, 30, and 31, John 11, verse 55 to the end of the chapter, which is a couple of verses, and then the first 19 verses of John 12. We've got Psalm 118, the first 18 verses, and Proverbs 15, verse 24 through 26. So 1 Samuel 29. Then the Philistines gathered together all their camps to Aphek, while the Israelites were camping by the spring, which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines were proceeding on by hundreds and by thousands, and David and his men were proceeding on in the rear with Achish. Then the commanders of the Philistines said, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" And Achish said to the commanders of the Philistines, "Is this not David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, who has been with me these days, or rather these years, and I have found no fault in him from the day he deserted to me to this day?" But the commanders of the Philistines were angry with him. And the commanders of the Philistines said to him, "Make the man return, that he may return to his place where you have assigned him, and do not let him go down to battle with us, or in the battle he may become an adversary to us. For with what could this man make himself acceptable to his Lord? Would it not be with the heads of these men? Is this not David, of whom they sing in the dances, saying, 'Saul has struck his thousands, and David his 10,000s? Then Achish called David and said to him, "As Yahweh lives, you have been upright, and your going out and your coming in with me in the camp are pleasing in my sight, for I have not found evil in you from the day of your coming to me to this day. Nevertheless, you are not pleasing in the sight of the lords. So now return and go in peace, that you may not do evil in the sight of the lords of the Philistines." And David said to Achish, "But what have I done, and what have you found in your servant from the day when I came before you to this day, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king?" But Achish answered and said to David, "I know that you are pleasing in my sight, like an angel of God. Nevertheless, the commanders of the Philistines have said, 'He must not go up with us to the battle.' So now arise early in the morning with the servants of your Lord who have come with you, and as soon as you have arisen early in the morning and have light, go." So David arose early, he and his men, to go in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. All right, 1 Samuel 30. Then it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negev and on Ziklag and had struck Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they took captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great. They did not put anyone to death and carried them off and went their way. Then David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. So David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Now David's two wives had been taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people said to stone him, for all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in Yahweh his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, "Please bring the ephod near to me." So Abiathar brought the ephod near to David. And David asked of Yahweh, saying, "Shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them?" And he said to him, "Pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and you will surely deliver all." So David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and they came to the brook Besor, where those left behind remained. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 who were too exhausted to cross the brook Besor remained behind. Then they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he ate, and they provided him water to drink. And they gave him a piece of fig cake and two clusters of raisins, and he ate. Then his spirit revived, for he had not eaten bread or drunk water for 3 days and three nights. And David said to him, "To whom do you belong, and where are you from?" And he said, "I am a young man of Egypt, a slave of an Amalekite, and my master forsook me when I fell sick 3 days ago. We made a raid on the Negev of the Cherethites, and on that which belongs to Judah, and on the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire." Then David said to him, "Will you bring me down to this band?" And he said, "Swear to me by God that you will not put me to death or surrender me into the hands of my master, and I will bring you down to this band." So he brought him down, and behold, they were spread over all the land, eating and drinking and celebrating, because of all the great spoil that they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Then David struck them down from the twilight until the evening of the next day, and not a man of them escaped, except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David delivered all that the Amalekites had taken, and delivered his two wives. Indeed, nothing of theirs was missing, whether small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that they had taken for themselves. David brought it all back. And David took all the sheep and the cattle which the people drove ahead of the other livestock, and they said, "This is David's spoil." Then David came to the 200 men who were too exhausted to follow David, who had also remained at the brook Besor. And they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And David approached the people and greeted them. Then all the evil and vile men among those who went with David said, "Because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have delivered, except to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart." Then David said, "You must not do so, my brothers, with what Yahweh has given us, who has kept us and given into our hands the hand that the band that came against us. And who will listen to you in the matter? For as is the portion of the one who goes down to the battle, so shall the portion be of the one who remains by the baggage. They shall be a portion together." So it has been from that day forward that he made it a statute and a judgment for Israel to this day. Then David came to Ziklag and sent some of the spoil to the elders of Judah, to his friends, saying, "Behold, a gift for you from the spoil of the enemies of Yahweh, to those who were in Bethel, and to those who were in Ramoth of the Negev, and to those who were in Jatir, and to those who were in Aroer, and to those who were in Siphmoth, and to those who were in Eshtemoah, and to those who were in Rakal, and to those who were in the cities of the Jeremelites, and to those who were in the cities of the Kenites, and to those who were in Hormah, and to those who were in Borashan, and to those who were in Athak, and to those who were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men went about." 1 Samuel 31. Now the Philistines were fighting against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines closely pursued Saul and his sons. And the Philistines struck down Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, the sons of Saul. And the battle became heavy against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was badly wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor-bearer, "Draw your sword and pierce me through with it, lest these uncircumcised come and pierce me through and abuse me." But his armor-bearer was not willing, for he was greatly afraid. So Saul took his sword and fell on it. Then his armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, so he also fell on his sword and died with him. Thus Saul died with his three sons, his armor-bearer, and all his men on that day together. Then the men of Israel who were on the other side of the valley, with those who were beyond the Jordan, saw that the men of Israel had fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead. So they forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and lived in them. Now it happened on the next day that the Philistines came to strip the slain, and they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. Then they cut off his head and stripped off his weapons and sent them all around the land of the Philistines to proclaim the good news to the house of their idols and to the people. And they placed his weapons in the house of Ashtaroth and fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. Then the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul. So all the valiant men arose and walked all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan, and they came to Jabesh and burned them there. And they took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. All right. John 11, verses 55 through the end of the chapter. Now the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went up to Jerusalem from the region before the Passover to purify themselves. So they were seeking Jesus and were saying to one another as they stood in the temple, "What do you think, that he will not come to the feast at all?" Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was to report it so that they might seize him. John 12, verses 1 through 19. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, and Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a litre of perfume of very costly pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was going to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief, and as he had the money box, he used to take from what was put into it. Therefore Jesus said, "Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Then the large crowd from the Jews learned that he was there, and they came, not because of Jesus only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him many of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus. On the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him and began to shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." These things his disciples did not understand at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him, and that they had done these things to him. So the crowd who was with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness about him. For this reason also the crowd went and met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing? Look, the world has gone after him." Psalm 118, verses 1 through 18, excuse me. Give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. O let Israel say, his loving kindness endures forever. O let the house of Aaron say, his loving kindness endures forever. O let those who fear Yahweh say, his loving kindness endures forever. From my distress I called upon Yah. Yah answered me and set me in a large place. Yahweh is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Yahweh is for me among those who help me. Therefore I will look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in Yahweh than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in Yahweh than to trust in nobles. All nations surrounded me. In the name of Yahweh I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me, indeed they surrounded me. In the name of Yahweh I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me like bees, they were extinguished as a fire of thorns. In the name of Yahweh I will surely cut them off. You pushed me down violently to make me fall, but Yahweh helped me. Yah is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of Yahweh does valiantly. The right hand of Yahweh is exalted. The right hand of Yahweh does valiantly. I will not die, indeed I will live, and recount the works of Yah. Yah has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. And finally, Proverbs 15, verses 24 through 26. The path of life leads upward for the one who has insight, that he may turn away from Sheol below. Yahweh will tear down the house of the proud, but he will cause the boundary of the widow to stand. Evil thoughts are an abomination to Yahweh, but pleasant words are pure. All right, well, that is our reading for the day. Let's go ahead and do the evening devotion. The text for it is from Genesis 42:2. There is corn in Egypt. Famine pinched all the nations, and it seemed inevitable that Jacob and his family should suffer great want. But the God of Providence, who never forgets the object of electing love, had stored a granary for his people by giving the Egyptians warning of the scarcity and leading them to treasure up the grain of the years of plenty. Little did Jacob expect deliverance from Egypt, but there was the corn in store for him. Believer, though all things are apparently against thee, rest assured that God has made a reservation on thy behalf. In the roll of thy griefs there is a saving clause. Somehow he will deliver thee, and somewhere he will provide for thee. The quarter from which they rescue shall arise may be a very unexpected one, but help will assuredly come in thine extremity, and thou shalt magnify the name of the Lord. If men do not feed thee, ravens shall, and if earth yield not wheat, heaven shall drop with manna. Therefore be of good courage, and rest quietly in the Lord. God can make the sun rise in the west if he pleases, and make the source of distress the channel of delight. The corn in Egypt was all in the hands of the beloved Joseph. He opened or closed the granaries at will. And so the riches of providence are all in the absolute power of our Lord Jesus, who will dispense them liberally to his people. Joseph was abundantly ready to succor his own family, and Jesus is unceasing in his faithful care for his brethren. Our business is to go after the help which is provided for us. We must not sit still in despondency, but bestir ourselves. Prayer will bear us soon into the presence of our royal brother. Once before his throne, we have only to ask and have his stores. We have only to ask and have. His stores are not exhausted. There is corn still. His heart is not hard. He will give the corn to us. Lord, forgive our unbelief, and this evening constrain us to draw largely from thy fullness and receive grace for grace. All right. Well, that is our podcast for the day. Again, I hope you've had a great weekend. I hope your plans for this weekend have included worshiping with the saints. If they have not, change your plans for tomorrow and go worship with the saints. It's not a request. It's a command from God. I hope you have a wonderful day. I would continue to implore you to do all that you do for the glory of God. And I hope to see you Monday for our podcast. Let's go ahead and close with prayer. We're going to close with the first day evening prayer called The Teacher. Let's pray. O God, we bless thee, our creator, preserver, benefactor, teacher, for opening to us the volume of nature, where we may read and consider thy works. Thou hast this day spread before us the fuller pages of revelation, and in them we see what thou wouldst have us do, what thou requirest of us, what thou hast done for us, what thou hast promised to us, what thou hast given us in Jesus. We pray thee for a conscious experience of his salvation, and our deliverance from sin, and our bearing his image, and our enjoying his presence, and our being upheld by his free spirit. Let us not live uncertain of what we are or of where we are going. Bear witness with our spirit that we are thy children, and enable each one to say, I know my Redeemer. Bless us with a growing sense of this salvation. If already enlightened in Christ, may we see greater things. If quickened, may we have more abundant life. If renewed, let us go on from strength to strength. Give us closer abiding in Jesus, that we may bring forth more fruit, have a deeper sense of our obligations to him, that we may surrender all, have a fuller joy, that we may serve him more completely, and may our faith work by love towards him who died, towards our fellow believers, towards our fellow men. Amen. All right. Well, again, thank you for spending the time with me, and I hope to see you tomorrow. Have a good one. God bless.